Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Yud Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where you see the Nosei, written in the margin. Nosei is the topic heading, and we've written Nusach Tfilah, the text of the Tefillah, Haskoras Yom Tov B'Tefillah Samidah, the mentioning of Yom Tov during the Shmona Esrei. So we have a Tanaic source that opens today's Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Yom Tov Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. That is, Yom Tov coincides with Shabbos, B'Shamay Omrim, Mispalo Shmona, you will have 8 brochas in the Shmona Esrei. This number 8 is in contrast with the standard 7 brachas that one will find in a standard Shabbos Shmon Esrei. On Yom Tov, which coincides with Shabbos, 8. V'omer shel Shabbos b'fnei atzmo v'shel Yom Tov b'fnei atzmo. There's a separate brocha mentioning Shabbos and a separate brocha mentioning Yom Tov. So that what you have is your basic Shmon Esrei is made of 3 standard brochas at the beginning, 3 standard brochas at the end, and in the case of Beis Shammai, 2 more brochas for a total of 8, one for Shabbos and one for Yom Tov. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says otherwise, Mispalel Sheva, 7 brochos make up the Shabbos Yom Tov Shmon Esrei. Maschil b'shel Shabbos, u'mesayim b'shel Shabbos. That means that you begin mentioning Shabbos first in the middle section of the Shmon Esrei, which, and Rashi has a text similar to what we have. Atiten lanu es yom haminucha hazeh. We would might say es yom haShabbos hazeh, es yom chag ploni hazeh, chag whatever it is. If it's matzos, if it's shavuos, if it's sukkos. And Misayim b'shel Shabbos means that you would end off the middle brocha by saying Mekadesh HaShabbos, and that's it. You don't make reference to the holiday. And the Omer Kedushas Hayom be'emtza, in the middle you make reference to the holiday, where you would say, as and Rashi quotes the text, Vatiten lonu Hashem Elokeinu es yom HaShabbos es yom HaMenucha es yom Chag Ploni. So that you have Beis Hillel having 7, total 7 brochas for his holiday Shabbos Shmon Esrei. Rebbe Omer, Af Chosein Ba, Rebbe says that the signature brocha of the middle section, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael VaHazmanim. That might be familiar to many of you, because this is what we actually practice. So that Rebbe, in contrast to Beis Hillel, his Rebbe's signing off or signature brocha of the middle section, it mentions Shabbos and the holidays. Toni Tano Kamei Duravina. Someone presented a Tanaic source in the presence of Ravina and was saying his teaching in the name of Rebbe. Rebbe's name doesn't appear, but it's in the spirit of Rebbe. And the source reads, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hashabbos v'Hazmanim. Notice the order. So, Ravino reacted. Omar Lei, is that accurate? Otu Shabbos Yisrael Mekadshi Lei. Is it so that the Jewish people sanctify Shabbos? That's not so. The Jewish people don't establish when Shabbos comes out. For HaShabbos Mikdasha V'Kaimo, Shabbos existed from the days of creation. The 7th day of creation was Shabbos, and every 7 days, Shabbos comes out. It's true that when the Torah was given, then the laws of Shabbos came out as well. But as far as when Shabbos is celebrated, when Shabbos is when Shabbos occurs, that was established before the Jews came into existence. So to say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hashabbos, giving the impression that Yisrael is responsible for the sanctity of Shabbos, that's not accurate. Elo Eimom, rather say Mekadesh Hashabbos Yisrael v'Hazmanim. We're blessed, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he sanctifies the Shabbos without any intervention of the Jewish people. However, when it comes to the holidays are established based on when the new month begins. For example, Pesach and Sukkot are the 15th of their respective months, Nisan and Tishrei. Well, when does Nisan begin? When does Tishrei begin? That is determined by the Jewish people. Then the court and the Sanhedrin and the Edom will come to testify about seeing the new lunar phase. So the establishment of the months is a function of the Jewish people and their sanctifying things, sanctifying the months. Therefore, Yisrael precedes Hazmanim, the holidays, insofar as Yisrael is the sanctifier of the holidays. Omar Rav Yosef, halacha k'Rebbe u'kedetoritz Ravina. The halacha follows Rebbe, and as Ravina straightened things out, namely the signature brachas Mekadesh Hashabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. When, of course, Shabbos and the first day of Yom Tov, or the holiday, the Yom Tov, overlap. Before we go further, we have a subtopic heading on the side, a tat nose, where we've written Tfilas Shachris Minchov Arvis, the morning, afternoon, and evening Shmon Esrei, Shel Shabbos Cholomoyed. That one davens, one prays on Shabbos that comes out in the middle of the holiday period, in the middle of what we call Cholomoyed, the intermediate days. We have Shmon Esrei Rogil Im Yalav Yavo. That's one approach. And Shmon Esrei Im Vatiten Lanu. We'll see different approaches as we go through the Gemara. Shabbos Tonu Rabbanan. Shabbos Shechalios Barosh Chodesh or B'chol Shemayit. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh coinciding, or Shabbos Cholomoyed. Shabbos in the middle of the holiday days, the intermediate days. Now, what we've done with our markings, you can see we have a diamond, and this highlights the different prayers. So you'll see how this figures as we go on in the text. Arvis v'shachris u'mincha, mispalel sheva, and you'll notice that we've used a double underline to highlight the word Sheva. That means you will daven a standard Shabbos Shmon Esrei like other Shabboses. V'oimer me'ein hama'ora b'avoda, and you say me'ein hama'ora means Yalev Yavod. It's a reference to Yalev Yavod. The term me'ein hama'ora means you make reference to the event that you are experiencing. So that this is a Shabbos in the middle of the Chol HaMoed. It's treated as a basic Shabbos. However, you do add a holiday reference in the form of Yalev Yavo, the Yalev Yavo passage. Bavoda means in the bracha that we begin with the words Ritzei. That's called the bracha of Avoda, Ritzei. So after you start the passage, the bracha Ritzei, in the middle, you then add the passage of Yalev Yavo, making mention of the holiday that is being celebrated. V'imloy Omar Machzirin Oisoy. And if he doesn't say the Me'ein Hama'oira, so that's reason for having to repeat the Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahoida. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees on the location of the Yalev Yavo passage. He would have you saying it in the bracha of Moedim. For those of you who are familiar with the Al HaNisim paragraph that you add on Hanukkah and on Purim, those are said in Hodah. Rabbi Elazar says all the holiday references that we refer in the form of Yalev Yavo are likewise in Hodah, the Broch of Moedim. Uva Musafin, Maschil B'Shel Shabbos, U'Mesayim B'Shel Shabbos, in the Musaf of Shabbos that comes out during Chol HaMoed, so you would start with Shabbos and end with Shabbos, V'Omer Kedushas Hayom Be'emtza, and in the middle you would say the Vatiten Lonu text, where you make reference to the holiday as well. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and Reb Yishmael benoi Shereb Yochanan ben Broka Omrim. So you have two Tanoim, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and Reb Yishmael. They say, Kol Mokoim Shehuzkak L'Sheva, namely, wherever, not only Musaf, but Arvis Shachris and Mincha, that's why we have a diamond here. It corresponds to the diamond before. Their opinion is, wherever seven brachas are mentioned, Maschil b'shel Shabbos u'mesayim b'shel Shabbos v'yomer kedushas hayom be'emtza. So, according to them, you will have the Vatiten Lonu text in all of the tefillos of Shabbos, either Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Omar of Huna, Ein Halacha Ke'oisoi Hazug. The Halacha does not follow what they say, but rather the Halacha will go like the Tanakama. And that means that when it comes to Arvis Shachris Mincha, you say seven brachas and all you add is Yalev Yavo. Rashi adds something though. And if we look in the dashed underlines of Rashi right across from here, Mihu lav hilchusu kavosei, the halacha is not going to follow the Tanakama b'hodik omar regarding that which he said. Uve musafin maschil v'chulei, Tanakama said musafim, you start with Shabbos, end off with Shabbos. That means you just say mekadesh Shabbos, and in the middle you say vatiten lanu. Ela b'ha hilchusu karebi the omar af choisei bo mekadesh Shabbos Yisrael v'azmanim oy rosh chodesh b'rosh chodesh. You see, according to according to Rashi, the Psak Halacha will not follow the Tanakama's din of Musaf, where he said Mesayim B'Shel Shabbos, but rather the Mesayim, the closing bracha of the middle section of Musaf of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Chol HaMoed, you will mention, like Rebbe said before, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael VaHazmanim. Okay, I hope that point is clear, that to saying Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael VaHazmanim is different than what the Tanakama in this most recent Tanaic source says that in regarding Musaf Mesayim B'Shel Shabbos, where he says you mention only Shabbos in the signature brocha. Now, as you can see, there's a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new topic. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading with a mivne, a structural note. A house form appears, and we've written Hanochas Eruvin Miyom Tov L'Chavero. The placing of an Eruv from when you have a 2-day Yom Tov, which is something that is experienced outside the land of Israel. So 2 days of Yom Tov are celebrated, 2 days at the beginning of the holiday, 2 days at the end of the holiday. If it's Shavuot, so it's a 2-day holiday. What can one establish an Eruv from on 1 day of Yom Tov to operate on the 2nd day of Yom Tov? We'll mention Eruvei Chatzeros and Eruvei Tavshilin. Two kinds of Eruv will be featured in the house markings. Now, there are two kinds of Eruv, and we will see two opinions on the matter. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Meniach Adam Eruvei Tchumin Miyom Tov L'Chavero U Masne. Masne means, and you state a, you make it conditionally. That would mean that if you want to, an Erev Tchumen is the effort on one's part to extend the distance, he can walk outside of the city in a particular direction. If a person does not set up an Eruv Tchumin, we say that a person's holiday or Shabbos location is the city in which he dwells at the entrance of Shabbos, the place he's found at the entrance of Shabbos or Yom Tov. And that distance is 2,000 amos in all directions. If, however, he has a particular need to go, let's say, up till 4,000 amos north of the city, so he can set up an Eruv Tchumin. He places some food at the 2,000 amma mark north of the city where he dwells, and that food is said to be his place, his mokoim, when Shabbos sets in, and therefore he has an additional 2,000 ammas beyond that for a total of 4,000 ammas. He can walk north of the city. Of course, by doing that, he can no longer walk south of the city whatsoever. He simply moved his location northwards. That's an Eruv Tchumin in a nutshell. So, if you have a two-day Yom Tov, and you want to extend your Tchum, so that on the second day, you can go further than you can change your location, so you can go further in one particular direction than otherwise. So you would set, according to this, you can set the Eruv Tchumin down on if you have a Thursday, Friday situation, you would set it down on Thursday, and it will enable you to walk the additional distance for on Friday. Again, you're celebrating 2 days of Yom Tov. If we look in the Rashi, across from here, Yom Tov l'chavero, Im nisgar v'yom tov rishon, v'cholu shnei yomim tovim chamishi v'erev Shabbos. If he remembers on the first day of Yom Tov, and you have 2 days of Yom Tov, one on Thursday and one on Friday, umasne, and you would make a tenai, a condition. Of course, let's just point out that an Eruv Tchumin must be established before the onset of the holiday. Now, you're observing here 2 days of holiday. Only one is the real holiday. The other one is a function of a true, nowadays it's called a minig avosin b'yodeinu, but it's a function of a suffix. It originated in a suffix. It originated in doubt as to when the holiday actually begins. Does it begin today, or does it begin tomorrow? So if he remembered on the first day of Yom Tov that he didn't set up an Eruv Tchumin beforehand, and you have 2 days of Yom Tov leading up to Shabbos, that's Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos, so he places the Eruv down with a tonight. The Eruv again is the food that he places at that extension point outside the city. And he says, Im hayoim choyol umochor kodesh, if today is not the real holy day, but rather it's tomorrow, eruvei eruv, so that which I'm doing today, it's a weekday, it takes hold. V'im chiluf, eini tzorach l'arev l'tavshilin. Actually, this is true with regard to the eruv tavshilin. But the Eruv Tavshilin, in fact, in the order of the Gemara, is mentioned second. Now, if we continue in the Rashi, Ubetchumin Yomar, here Rashi describes that which is mentioned first in our Gemara, Ubetchumin Yomar, and with regard to Eruv Tchumin, you say, Im Hayom Kodesh, Eim B'dvorai Klum, if today is a holy day, so what I'm doing now is meaningless, because you can't make an Eruv Tchumin on the holy day. Ulamochor Yomar, Kamokain B'shel Tchumin, and the next day you say the same thing. That means on Friday you'll say that if today is a holy day, then that which I'm doing now is of no value. That which I did yesterday did take hold. And if today is the weekday, so then fine, this is a good Eruv Tchum that I'm making now. And you can use the same bread as you used yesterday. Ubosapas atzma, the mimon of shachave Eruv. Either way you look at it, the Eruv takes hold. But in the case of the Eruv Tchumin, you have to repeat it on both days. Avo b'shel tavshilin ein tzarech l'shnois v'lachzor es tano l'mochar. But with regard to the Eruv Tavshilin, there's no need to make the Tanai on Thursday and on Friday. The reason for that is that if the first day, if Thursday was the holy day, then the cooking that you do on Friday is totally allowed. You can cook then, because Friday is a weekday, and you can cook for on Friday for Shabbos, which is the purpose of the Erev Tavshilin. And if Thursday was the weekday and Friday is the holy day, so the Eruv that I made on Thursday is a good Eruv. So there's no need to repeat the conditions regarding Eruv Tavshilin on Friday. We now continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Meniach Odom Eruve Tavshilin Biyom Tov L'Chaveru Masne, as we just saw in the Rashi, that you will place an, you will prepare an Eruv Tavshilin on Thursday and make the condition that if today is the is a holy day, then I don't need the Eruv tomorrow. And if tomorrow is the holy day and I can't, technically speaking, cook from Friday to Shabbos, so that which I'm doing now on Thursday takes hold as the Eruv Tavshilin, enabling me to then cook on Friday for Shabbos. Man de Omar Eruve Tchumin, he who said, that's Rav Chia, who said that you can place an Eruv Tchumin down on Miyom Dov L'Chavero and make the condition, then Kol Shekein Eruve Tavshilin, then all the more so, he will allow that by the Eruv Tavshilin. Man de Omar Eruve Tavshilin, he who allows this setting down on Thursday with the condition, will allow it for Erev Tavshilin, aval Eruve Tchumin lo. My time, why for Erev Tchumin not? Why won't he be lenient? Answer, the lemikni shvisa b'shabata loy, to acquire a location. See, the Erev Tchumin, as we explained earlier, you are in effect transferring your location, you're acquiring for yourself a new location. So to do that, acquisition of a new domain, on the Gemara uses the term Shabbos, but it's in this case a reference to Yom Tov, so we don't allow that. And even if it's a Suffolk Yom Tov, we don't allow acquisition of new domains on days like that, so that even though we might have been matir the Eruv Tavshilin, this making from Yom Tov L'Chavero, we will not be equally lenient with regard to the preparation of the Eruv Tchumen from Yom Tov L'Chavero. Tonu Rabbanan. Ein oifin miyom tov l'chavero. If you have 2 days of Yom Tov, you cannot bake on the first day of Yom Tov for the second day of Yom Tov. Be'emes Amru, in Be'emes Amru is an expression indicating something of accepted halacha. So it was said, Memalo isha kol hakdero basar afal pishen otzricha lo chatich achas. Even though you're not allowed to in a premeditated fashion cook with intentionally from one day for the next day, however, you can fill up a pot of meat even though you need only one piece of meat. Rashi adds, Mimala Isha Debechat Tircha Saki, it's one effort. In other words, you're just placing a pot on the fire. The problem would be cooking an act of cooking that's not necessary. However, the act of cooking is accomplished by placing the pot on the fire. So it doesn't matter if the pot has one piece of meat in it or a pot full of pieces of meat. It's one act of effort, and hence one is allowed to do that. Another example, and you can see these triangles highlight the expression of memale. And on the side, we should have pointed out, we have our our Nosei Mivneh heading, where the triangle is featured, Milui Kedera V'Kiton, the filling up of a pot and a water pot, Afalpi De'eno Tzorach Elomat, even though all you need is a little bit. So we have another, this a second example in the source. Mimala Nachtom. Nachtom is a baker. Mimala Nachtom Choviz Shomayim. He can fill up a receptacle of Choviz, is a, literally a barrel. It's a receptacle of water. Even though all he needs is one small flask. And the idea here is, it seems that we're talking about a baker who's going to need, he needs hot water, so he's going to be boiling up the water. So you can, even though he needs only one cup of water, he can fill up a large kettle of water on Yom Tov. Avol le'efois eino oife elo ma shitzorach lo. But as far as baking, baking involves shaping individual loaves. So, with regard to baking, loaves, you're allowed to bake only that which you need for that day. Because, in that case, each loaf is a separate expenditure of effort. So that each loaf has to be put into the oven, and each loaf has to be then removed from the oven. These are actions that, unless if it's not Yom Tov related, they would be forbidden. So since each loaf requires a separate investment of effort, the one then with regard to baking, one is limited to the actual amount that he needs for that day and no more. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer memala isha kol atanur pas. You see, he says that the woman who's baking bread can fill her entire oven with loaves. You'll ask, but she's investing efforts that are not going to be that are not for the Yom Tov day. Extra efforts for loaves that she's not going to be eating that day. So how's it allowed? B'pnei shapas nefes yofa bizman shatanur mole. The bread bakes better. The bread that I want for Yom Tov day, it is improved by being baked together with other loaves. So since the adding of the loaves is beneficial to the loaf that I need for Yom Tov day, one is allowed to add the other loaves. Omar Rava Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Halacha will follow this more lenient opinion, which is lenient in the realm of baking. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Mivneh heading, the structural note. A bow tie is featured, and we've written Shnei Ibayalaho, two questions, Be'inyan Bishul B'Yom Tov L'Shabbos, regarding cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That is as far as the structural note is concerned. We continue on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei. Someone who didn't prepare an Erev Tavshilin, the food that one prepares before Yom Tov so as to enable him to bake and cook from Yom Tov for Shabbos. So he didn't prepare the Erev Tavshilin. So someone like that, do we say that not only can he not prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos because he didn't make the Erev Tavshilin, but his flour also, this man's flour also becomes prohibited. Now the Gemara, Ibai Eloho, we're at the bow tie, and it's also a long question. Ibai Eloho, Mishalo hiniach Eruvei Tavshilin, someone who did not prepare the Erev Tavshilin. He didn't prepare it on Thursday, the Erev Yom Tov, which comes out on a Friday. Do we say he is prohibited to cook now on Friday for Shabbos? Friday, of course, is Yom Tov. And not only is he restricted, but his flour is also prohibited. Or do we say that he is restricted, but not his flour? Lamai nafka mina. What difference does it make? What difference is there in this analysis? Answer: Laknuye kimchoy lachirim. For him to transfer ownership of his flour to others. I amris hu ne'asar v'kimcho ne'asar. If you say that the person who didn't establish the Eruv Tavshilin is restricted, and his flour is restricted, tzorech laknuye kimcho lachirim. He would have to give his kemach to others as a gift, and then they could prepare it, and he'll have what to eat. But in order for them to prepare it, he has to give it to them as a gift, because as long as it is his, so it is prohibited. V'i'amris hu nesar ve'en kimcho nesar. If you say that one who doesn't prepare an Erev Tavshilin is personally restricted, but his wares are not restricted, his products, his flour is not restricted, he doesn't have to makne, he doesn't have to transfer ownership of his flour to others in order for them to be able to prepare for him. So the question has been raised. Toshma, let's try to answer it. Mi shelo hiniach eruv tavshilin. Someone who did not prepare the eruv tavshilin, hare ze lo yofe, velo yivasheo, velo yatmin, loy velo lachirim. He is not allowed to bake, nor cook, nor yatmin. Yatmin is where one wraps food up, or buries food in order to preserve its heat. After it, you have heat, a pot that's removed from the fire, you might wrap it in blankets, you might put it in a hole with tightly compacted sand around it. That would be called hatmona. So if you did not prepare an Erev Tavshilin, so you cannot do hatmona of hot food on Friday, which is Yom Tov, for Shabbos the next day, not for himself, nor can he do it for others. And others cannot prepare for him. In other words, others cannot come into his house and use this person's food and prepare for this individual that didn't make the Erev. Kesed also, so what should he do? What he can do is he can transfer ownership of his flour to others. It then becomes theirs, and they can prepare food on Friday, which is Yontif, for him. So he'll have what to eat on Shabbos. Shma mina, so from this we see hu nesar v'kimcho nesar, that not only was he forbidden, but his flour, as long as it was his flour, it was also restricted. Others couldn't come in to cook for him as is. So, as we saw in the source, he had to transfer ownership of the flour so it would become his friend's flour, and that would be his salvation. Shma mina. So this is conclusive. A person who did not make an Erev Tavshilin, and he knows he's not allowed to bake and cook on Friday for Shabbos, but he did. What is the din? Can he eat that which he prepared illegally? Can he eat that on Shabbos? On the side of the Gemara, we have this as a topic heading, Ovar v'ofa, Mal Shiyocha b'Shabbos, he violated and baked. Can he eat that which he baked on Yom Tov? Can he eat it on Shabbos? Under the Mivneh heading, you'll see the triangle, and they represent five Nisyonis Lifshot Shelazu, five attempts to answer this question. So you ought to skim ahead just to see where these triangles appear. So the one is over here, and we've also numbered them down the side of the Gemara on Omid Beis. You can see that number 5 appears about halfway down the page, a little more. So the question once again is, Ovar v'ofa mai, toshma, mi shelo iniach iruvei tavshilin. someone who did not prepare an Erev Tashin, Kesed Oise, Makne Kimchoi L'Acherim, he should transfer ownership of his flour to others, V'Acherim Ofin Lo Umavashlo, and then once his flour becomes their flour, they can bake it and cook for him. So that's the solution. The Gemara goes on the top of Amud Beis. Ve'i Esau, if it were so that Ofer Vofel is mutter, that one who violated and didn't makne the kemach to others, but he baked it himself, listening, then the source should have said Ofer Vofel mutter. They should have taught that. And in the absence of that teaching, so we're led to believe that if he violated the rules and did bake, it would not be allowed. The Gemara says that's not conclusive. Omar Rav Ador Bar Matona, he is doche what we just said. Tona takanta dehetera kotoni. The Tana at the bottom, this Tanaic source that we read at the bottom of Omen Aleph, was interested in telling us permissible solutions for the individual that didn't make the Erev. Takanta disur lo kotoni, solutions that are forbidden, in other words, You're forbidden to bake. What were we talking about? Someone went ahead and baked illegally. It's a solution, but it's forbidden. Lo kotoni. So the source was not interested in reporting that. So that it could be that from this discussion, if we were to stop here, Ovar va'ofa might very well be mutter. The food, that is, not the action. Toshma. This is a second attempt to answer the question of how do we rule regarding Ovar v'Ofa. Mi shiniach eruvei tavshilin. Hareze ofe umevashel umatmim. Someone who prepared an Erev Tavshilin, he can bake, cook, and insulate his hot food for the next day. And it's insulated on Friday, so it'll be ready, it'll be still hot on when Shabbos sets in. Vim rotza le'chol es eruvo horoshus biodo. If he wants to eat the eruv, it's something that one is allowed to eat. Ochlo atshelo, ofo atshelo, bishel atshelo hidmin. If, however, he ate it before he did the baking, the cooking, or the insulation, hareze lo yofe v'lo yivashel v'lo yamin. Then he's not allowed to do any of these activities. Lo lo v'lo l'achirim, not for himself nor for others. V'lo achirim oifun umavashlin lo, and others cannot come into his house and bake for him either. Avol mevashil hu liyom tov, he can cook for Yom Tov day. That's certainly allowed, even if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. And if there's leftover food, so that can be eaten on Shabbos. Ubuvad shelo ya'arim, provided he doesn't do something in a trickery fashion. Yeah, and Rashi says on the third line from the top, la'achar shebishel letzorach Yom Tov, after he finished cooking for Yom Tov, which he's allowed to do, lo ya'arim v'lomar, don't be underhanded and say, od ani tzorach lahazmin orchim v'yavashel tavshil achirim v'yosirom l'shabbos. Oh, I have to go invite friends and cook for them, and lo and behold, he'll have more food left over for Shabbos. The Gemara continues, v'him v'im he'erim osur. If he did that, in other words, if after he finished his basic Yom Tov cooking needs, he said, oh, I have to cook up more for guests that I have to go out and invite. And if he did that, it's usur. He cannot eat from the food. So, what's the point? So we wrote between the lines, Salkadaita huadin lovar v'ofa. The thinking here is, it's just like someone who's ma'arim, we say usur. So too, someone who knowingly went ahead and baked without having made an Erev Tavshilin, baked on Friday for Shabbos, knowingly, that too will be osur. That's the attempt represented by this second triangle. The Gemara rejects this, but notice, marking-wise, it's a long rejection. Number one, Omar Ravashi, Ha Romo Kamras, are you trying to bring a proof of stringency from the case of trickery? Shiny Ha Romo, Dachmir Bor Rabbanon Tfeimi Mezid. The case of someone who is cunning and underhanded is worse than the case that we were asking about, the case of Ovar V'Ofa, someone who deliberately, with knowledge, knowingly, went ahead and violated the halacha. You might be asking, why is cunningness, underhandedness viewed as worse than something done premeditated? So Rashi explains, and it's a very valuable lesson that's contained in this Rashi. So let's learn it together. Shaini haroma li'olam Rashi. We're looking at as a cross from here. Li'olam avar ve'ofa muter. In fact, we will tell after saying that haroma is different. Someone who knowingly violates the law and bakes on Friday, which is Yom Tov for Shabbos, the food will be muter. Va'haroma eino raya lekan. The fact that we might be strict with regard to the haroma case is not proof to our issue. The shiny haroma mimezid. Haroma, this underhandedness, is worse than the case of someone who premeditated with knowledge, went ahead and violated. There is room to say that there is room for greater stringency. By the case of Roma, more than premeditated violation. Someone who is mazed, he knowingly violates the rules of the sages. No one's going to learn from him. He is a rogue character that goes ahead and violates rabbinic teachings. He himself will one day take it to heart and repent. Therefore, we're not going to, in the case of Ovar V'Ofa, we won't, since he'll do tshuva, the laws of Eruv will not be undone. Even this person himself will come to observe the laws of Eruv. Avol marim, someone who does or behaves in a tricky fashion, underhanded fashion. Savor lasos beheter, he thought he was doing something allowed. Hilkach lo yoshiv alimul achsibo, therefore he's not going to take it upon himself to repent. He thought he's doing something that's allowed. Ve'achirim lemeidim hemedo, and others will learn from him. Uma'akro toros eruv, and the laws of Eruv will end up result in being obliterated. Hilkoch konsuhu rabbona. Therefore, in the case of Haroma, because of what it could lead to, there we were harsh. And we said, if you were going to be marim, you're going to say that, oh, I still need to cook more even after you finish cooking all of your needs, and claim that you're cooking for guests that you need to go to invite, that is a worse case than Ovar V'Ofa. We continue in the Gemara, was a number two. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, Ha Moni Chanan Yohi Valiba Debei Shammai. The source in which it said, Im Heri Masur, that is a particular opinion. It's an individual opinion. And it's Hananya and his version of Beis Shammai that we hear as being machmir with regard to Eruv Tavshilin. Desanya, the source says, Hananya Oimer, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Oifin Elohim Keinirev Bepas. One cannot bake on Friday, which is a Yom Tov for Shabbos, unless he made an Eruv out of bread. V'ein Mevashim Keinirev Betavshil. And you can't cook unless you made an Eruv Tavshilin out of a cooked dish. And also the insulation on Yom Tov for Shabbos cannot be done unless Erev Yom Tov you insulated some food. You did hatmona to the food. Ubeisil omrim me'arev betavshil echod voisa b'kol tzorcho. Mesil doesn't require such detailed preparations for the Erev Tavshilin. One dish that you cook up, do so for the sake of Eruv Tavshilin, that's enough, and you can then do all the other activities. So the point here in this number two was indicating that the source where we said Haroma was Usur, and we said just like that is Usur, so Avar V'Ofu would also be Usur. That happens to be an individual opinion, the opinion of Hananya, as is presented, as he presents Beis Shammai. And the connection is that we see that Beis Shammai, as Hananya presents him, is stringent in his Eruv Tavshilin requirements, and one of those stringencies would be Avar V'Ofa is Usur. However, that is an individual opinion. It doesn't necessarily restrict us. Toshma. Hamaser Perosa B'Shabbos. There's a prohibition of tithing on Shabbos, tithing fruits and vegetables on Shabbos. And this source, we see someone who violated, and he did. He was Maaser, he tithed his Peros on Shabbos. B'shogeg yochal, b'mezid lo yochal. If he did so unknowingly, so he can eat the rest of the fruits. It's no longer tevel, it's considered tithe, and hence the balance is allowed. However, if he did so knowingly, b'mezid lo yochal. If you tithe fruits and you're not supposed to do it, and you went ahead and knowingly violated the halacha anyway, we don't allow you to eat because you violated the rules of Shabbos. So you can see that when it comes to violations of rabbinic law, they are restrictive, even if it's at the expense of enjoying Shabbos. So the same thing with Avar V'Ofa. You violated the rules, the rabbinic rules, in trying to prepare for Shabbos. You cannot eat it. The Gemara says, Lo tzricha, this source is not a sufficient answer for our case, but it's needed for another circumstance. De is le piri achrini. This is talking about a person that has other fruits available. So the additional fruits that he now tithed, those don't represent his only food for Shabbos. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat that which you did tithe on Shabbos because he has other fruits. Not so in the case of Avar V'Ofa. In the case of Avar V'Ofa, that was his only food for Shabbos. So maybe there we wouldn't be so restrictive. Toshma. Hamatbil Kelov B'Shabbos. A person immerses his vessels on Shabbos. There's an Isur Durabonon in immersing vessels on Shabbos. It looks like Mesakin. It looks like you're repairing it. That before the Tevila, so it cannot be used, and after the Tevila, it can be used. So if one did the Tevilas Kelim on Shabbos, B'shogeg Yishtamish Bohen, B'mezid Lo Yishtamish Bohen. Once again, you're dealing with an Isur Durabonon. It looks like you're doing an act of Mesakin, and if you did it knowingly, Lo Yishtamish, you cannot use them. The Gemara says, we should point out then, likewise, Avar V'Ofa will say Lo Yochal. The Gemara says it's not parallel. Lo Tzricha, the Is Le Moni Achrini. This case is different, and that is because he has other vessels. So these vessels that he immersed today to make them useful, he doesn't use. He's got other vessels available. Inami, Efshir B'Sheila. He can borrow vessels from someone else, so that we're not being overly restrictive by telling him that the vessels that he did immerse knowingly, he cannot use, because he still has other options. Not so, of course, in the case of Avar V'Ofa, this was the only food available for him. And there we might be lenient. Toshma, Hamavashel B'Shabbos, B'Shogeg, Yochal, B'Mezid Lo Yochal. One who cooks up on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, it's one of the 39 Ovos Malachos, one did so anyway, if he did b'shogeg, forgot that it was Shabbos, wasn't aware that it was Shabbos, he's allowed to eat the food. However, if it did it knowingly, lo yochal. Similarly, with regard to our halacha of the Gemara says this is not conclusive. Ay surah de Shabbos shiny. A Shabbos violation is a very heavy offense. It carries with it a potential death penalty. So one who knowingly violated Shabbos, that is different. There we'll say b'mezid lo yochal. However, in the case of Ofer v'Ofer on Yom Tov for Shabbos, which is only an Issur de Rabbanan, there we might allow you to eat the food. Now we continue with a quote from the Mishnah. Beishamay Omrim Shnei Tavshilin. This is from the Mishnah back on Tesvov Amid Beis. On the side we have a Nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Machloikis Mishnosenu Ubraisa. We're going to see a Tanaic controversy on the one hand, our Mishnah, and on the other hand, a Tanaic source, a Braisa. Beshitas Beis Hillel. Kamo Tavshilin Tzorach L'Erev Tavshilin. How much is required for an Erev Tavshilin? Omar Rabbi, so we continue now in the Gemara. Masnisin Delo Ki Hai Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tanaic source. Desanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Moidim, and you can see the use of the double underline to highlight the terms Moidim and Al Ma Nechliku. When is there agreement, and when is there, under what circumstances is there disagreement? So Rav Shimon Elazar says, Moidim Beishamay Ubeis Hillel Al Shnei Tavshilin Shetzorech. Here you see, this is something unlike our Mishnah. Even Beis Hillel, it says you need to have two Tavshilin, two dishes. Al Ma Nechliku, concerning what do they disagree? Al Dog Ubeitza Sha'alav. If you have fish coated in egg. Shebeishamay omrim shnei tavshilin. Veisomrim tavshilachet. By the way, Tosfos switches around the girsa. There's an alternative girsa because, generally speaking, Beis Hillel is more lenient. So, if you're telling me that everyone requires shnei tavshilin, so it would stand to reason then Beis Hillel is the one, not based on leniency, but based on acceptability of halacha, he is the one that is going to say that it would be considered two tavshilin, because that's what you need to have according to this approach. That having been said, we can use the Gemara text as it is as well. If you have fish coated in egg, Beis Shammai says that counts as two tavshilin, and Beis Hillel tavshil echad. Vishavin, there is agreement. Sheim pirfer beisa v'nosan l'sochadag. You mashed an egg, crumbled an egg, and stuffed a fish with it. Oy sherisek kaflutos v'nosan sochadag, or you ground down or mashed kaflutos, a type of vegetation, it's also called karsi, and you stuffed a fish with it, and that's what you prepared for your erev tavshilin, stuffed fish, shehein shnei tavshilin. They do count as two tavshilin, and that would fulfill the Erev Tavshilin requirement according to this source. Omar Rava, Hilchasa Kitana Didan Valiba de Beis Hillel. Rava paskins, he rules like our Mishnah, not like the Braisa, and as far as Beis Hillel's ruling, that one tavshil prepared as the Erev Tavshilin is enough. Omar Abaye. The Mishnah had said that if the Erev Tavshilin was lost or was eaten before you did your Shabbos preparations, so you've got to stop there. Omar Abaye, Niktinon. We have a tradition. Hischil b'isoso, v'nechal iruvo, gomer. If he started the baking process of a dough. In other words, he started forming the dough in anticipation of it being baked, and then at that point, before the loaf was completely baked, the eruv is lost. So we say, since you started the baking process, you can continue. there is a discussion in the Rosh and also in the Ran that deals with this particular section of Gemara. When the Gemara says Gomer, how much does that mean? Does that mean just finish that loaf that you're working on, or finish all the cooking and baking that you need to do? At the point that the Eruv got lost, you had already started the cooking that you were doing. The Mishnah. Chal Liyos Achar HaShabbos. When Yom Tov comes out on a Sunday. Anything that needs to be immersed in a mikveh, you've got to do that, whether it's a person or vessels, it has to be done on Friday. Beis Hillel Omrim, kelim mifnei haShabbos, vessels that need to be immersed in a mikveh, they have to be immersed before Shabbos. The Odom b'Shabbos, the person himself, can purify himself, immerse in a mikveh on Shabbos day. V'shavin, there is agreement, Shemashikin esamayim b'kli evin l'taron, avaloi mat bilin. This line is, as you see, it's one line, but there's a lot of explanation necessary to understand it. If one has water that became tomei, good drinking water that became tomei, unlike all other foods and drink, only water, after becoming tameh, has a chance of being purified. And that happens if you were to take the tameh water and fill it to the brim of a vessel, and then immerse the vessel into the, submerge the vessel till the point that the rim of the vessel, where you have the meniscus of water, then comes into contact with the surface of the mikveh. That combination, that attachment, is referred to in halacha by the word zriya, which literally means planting, and that purifies the water. So there's agreement that shemashikin esamayim, word hashaka, is this contact, like the word nishika, it's contact where the water of the in the vessel and the mikveh water contact with each other, and that purifies the impure water. That can be done, provided you do so in a stone vessel. A stone vessel, kli evin, stone vessel is a type of vessel that cannot become tomei, so that it won't appear that he is immersing the vessel for the purpose of purifying the vessel, which is something that's not allowed to be done on Shabbos nor Yom Tov. So, mashikin esamayim b'kli evin l'taron, to metahir the water, avolomat bilin. What does that mean? That means you cannot take the water, that the good drinking water that became tomei, and put it in a defiled wooden vessel that is subject to defilement, and it is if it's defiled, you cannot put the water into a defiled wooden vessel and do the hashoka, because at that point you are in fact being metayer the vessel as well. Then the Mishnah ends off with terms that are discussed later in the Gemara, matbilin Migav legav umechabura lechabura. We'll leave them unexplained for the time being. The kule almo mihas. Everyone agrees. However, kli b'Shabbos lo. The immersion of a kli cannot be done on Shabbos. As you saw in the Mishnah, we have Yom Tov came out on Sunday. Yom Tov preceded by Shabbos. The tevilas kelim had to be done on Friday, not on Shabbos. Well, why not? On the side of the Gemara, you see the Nosei, the topic heading, also an indicator that it goes till Yud Ches Amid Beis, means it's a long discussion on this matter. My taimo, ein matbilim kelim b'Shabbos. Why is there this restriction of immersing vessels on Shabbos? And under the Mivneh heading, you can see the house and the house represents four hezberim. And as you go down, Omid Yud Ches Omid Aleph, clear down to the bottom of the page, you have Deos addressing this issue. And it's interesting to note that Rav Yosef, who is the second explanation there on Daf Yud Ches Omid Aleph, he's pretty far away from where the topic began. The topic begins right here, where we're holding at the bottom of Yud Zayin Beis. Rashi, and we point this out often in Gemara markings, how Rashi is sensitive to structural problems. Rashi says on Yud Ches Omid Aleph toward the end of the page, Rav Yosef Omer, Taim Udimas Nisin Detvilas Kem Shavs V'Yom Tov Asiro, and Rashi is quick to point out that Rav Yosef is coming to address the issue of the Mishnah, why Tevilas Kelim on Shabbos and Yontov is prohibited. So, in the meantime, we are noting that everyone agrees it's prohibited, but my time, why? Omar Rabo, Gzeiro, and this is something that's very well known with regard to Rabo in other contexts. Zero Shemo, we're at the top of Yud Ches Omid Aleph. Shemo Yitlenu Biyodoi V'Avirenu Arba Amos B'Rishus Rabbam. We're fearful that if you would be allowed to immerse vessels on Shabbos, you might take it from your house to wherever the mikveh is, and that will involve transmitting it or transporting it four or more Amos in a public domain. And it's also to transfer things in a public domain, moving things more than four amos. Tosfos points out that, technically speaking, the issue of transferring it from a private domain to a public domain would also be something to consider, but he says that's not mentioned because a person will notice at the threshold of his door that he's now leaving one domain to another. He won't come to do that. But carrying things four amos in Rishus HaRabim is something that people don't have any point of demarcation, and it's more easily violated. So we don't allow you to take vessels to mikvois on Shabbos because of the fear that you're going to end up carrying it four amos in a public thoroughfare. Omar Le Abaye. Abai asks, Rabbo, Yeshlo bor b'chatzer Michael Amemar. Let's say a person has a pit that's filled with rainwater that's suitable for immersing vessels, and it's in his courtyard. It doesn't involve any outdoor transportation. Michael Amemar, then what is there to say about that? Why is that? Why wouldn't the Mishnah allow that? When the Mishnah doesn't allow it, it's just the Mishnah gave a strident, unqualified prohibition of immersing vessels. So why not immerse in a bor in your backyard, an enclosed area? Amale gzeiro bor b'chatzero oto bor b'rishus harabim. So Rabbo says there is a rabbinic restriction placed on even the bor in your courtyard in anticipation of the case of the bor in the rishus harabim, in the public thoroughfare. Question: Hotenach Shabbos. This is a reasonable explanation as far as the Shabbos prohibition. Shabbos is a day that you cannot carry in a public domain. But Yom Tov Ma'ikol Amemar, what about the Yom Tov restriction? On Yom Tov, there isn't a tiltal Bereshus Rabban prohibition. So the Gemara answers, Gzeira Yom Tov Otu Shabbos. We don't want you to immerse on Yom Tov because you might come to immerse vessels on Shabbos. At this point, the Gemara starts a series of questions. And you can see on the side, under our Mivneh heading, a triangle is featured, and you'll see also a double underline in this series. Sidro Shel Chamesh Kushios, a series of five questions, Ale Hezber Shel Rabo, who explained that the restriction of the Tevilas Kelim on Shabbos is because of a rabbinic restriction that was imposed. We call it Gzeira. Mikol HaMakoro Se'elu Royim Delo Gozrim. From all the sources that the Gemara will present, we see that they do not impose restrictions. Hence the Gemara asks, Umi Gazrinon, and do we impose a restriction? V'ha Tanan, we have also something that we saw in our Mishnah. It says, V'shovin shemashikin es hamayim b'kli even letaron avalo matbilin. There is agreement. One is allowed to purify the water in a stone vessel, and all that must be avoided is trying to metayer mayim in a tome vessel. V'i Esau, if it's so, that we impose gezeros, nigzor hashoka otu hadbola, then even hashoka should be restricted, because if we allow hashoka, you might come to do hatbola, the immersion of a tome vessel with the water in it, and that we know is actually forbidden. So it seems that we don't make gezeros. So then we should allow tavilas kelim on Yom Tov. V'tizbara, and the Gemara responds and says, V'tizbara is an expression you find throughout the Shas where someone tries to raise a question. The Gemara reacts and says, listen, you have to explain yourself. You have to offer a svara to what you're saying, and I have a counter comment to make to your question. In other words, a response. E isle mayim yofim. If someone had good water, honey, good water, good drinking water. If he had a supply of good drinking water, honey lomali lameva luhashoka. Why is he bothering doing hashoka in the first place? Elo de lesle, we're talking about someone that doesn't have any other water. The kevon de lesle, since he doesn't have any other water, mizar zohir buhu, he will be very careful. This is his only drinking water. And therefore, he will be very careful. And Rashi says, the fourth line from the top, mizar zohir buhu, Shelo Yitamu, who's going to be very careful that they should not become Tomei. The Kevan de Zoyabuhu, Havilhu Tumasan Milsa de Loshricha. The fact that they did become Tomei after he was being so careful is unusual. Usually, a person who is careful, the water wouldn't become Tomei. He was obviously trying to be careful. This was all the water he had. And yet it did become Tomei. Something that's very unusual. Milsa de lo shchicha. It is therefore considered an unusual circumstance. Velo gozu ba rabbanan. This is a well-known rule that things that are unusual, situations or circumstances that are unusual, the rabbanan don't impose their restrictions. So the whole scenario of someone who needs to do hashoka on his water is an unusual case, and therefore we do not impose restrictions on something that is fundamentally allowed. And the purification of tomei water in a stone vessel is itself a permissible action. Eisvei Madlin Bidli Tomei Vehu Tohar. One can draw water using a tome, a defiled pail, and by lowering the pail into the well and drawing water, this tome pail will become tohor, and that is allowed. Ve'i saw. If it's so that we impose gezeros, nigzor dilma osi lebule beine, we should not allow the drawing of water with a tome pail in anticipation of a guy immersing a tome pail without drawing water. In other words, in anticipation of a straight out simple immersion, which is something that's forbidden. So what do we see? We see that we do not impose gezeros. And just so as to not lose sight of the forest for the trees, that would then mean that you should be allowed to immerse Tomei vessels on Yom Tov. All Rabba said before was we restrict Yom Tov as a gzeirah because you might come to do it on Shabbos. But here you see we don't make gzeiros. We allow you to draw water in a tummy pail where the pail will become tor, and we don't anticipate that might lead to his immersing an empty pail without the drawing of water. The Gemara says, Shiny Hossam, that case is different, the case with the pail, the tummy pail, mitoch shlo hutra lo elo ayadei dolyoi zohar hu. We look at Rashi, mitoch shlo hutra lo tevila zu elo ayadei dolyo b'shivosoi. She'ein kein derech sha'ar tevilos, since he knows that the only way for the pail on Yom Tov to become tohor is by drawing water, so which is something that's rather unusual. In other words, it's not the way you generally immerse vessels. So he will remember that basic tevila is usur. He won't come to do it. The whole fear is a person will forget himself and come to do something worse, but he won't come to forget it because we are not allowing his immersion of the Tomei pail other than through the act of drawing water. Esve, Kli Shenitma, Me'er of Yom Tov, Ein Mapilos of Yom Tov. If it became defiled before Yom Tov, you cannot immerse it on Yom Tov. Be Yom Tov, so be Yom Tov. If it became Tomei on Yom Tov, you are allowed to immerse it in mikveh on Yom Tov. Ve'im Isah, if it's so that we make gezeros, nigzor de Yom Tov, or to the era of Yom Tov, we should not allow the immersion of a kli that became Tomei on Yom Tov in anticipation of immersing a kli on Yom Tov that became Tomei era of Yom Tov. Yet we see from here, we don't make zeros. And if we don't make zeros, we go back to the original point. If one immersed the kli on Yom Tov, it should be all right. It should be allowed one should be allowed to immerse vessels on Yom Tov. Why did Rabbo say that we make a gzera banning Yom Tov immersions in anticipation of Shabbos immersions? The Gemara responds. Now, we have to point out, just it's a detail over here, you see, according to Rabbah, the root of the problem is you're coming to carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRabim. So since that is the only problem as far as Rabbah's perception is concerned, Yom Tov, where there isn't a for Amos Rishus HaRabim restriction, should be allowed in vessel immersion. And yet, Rabbah said, Gzeira Yom Tov Otter Shabbos. Here we don't make a Gzeira concerning the vessels that became Tomei on Yom Tov in anticipation of those that became Tomei before Yom Tov. So the Gemara answer is there's a difference. Tumah B'Yom Tov, the fact that things become Tomei on Yom Tov to begin with, Milsa de Lor Shchicha Hi, it's an unusual event. On the Yomim Tovim, people were very careful, especially in light of the fact that people were eating sacrificial meat, which requires a high level of tumah awareness, and therefore the defilement on Yom Tov day is something unusual, and therefore lo gozru ba rabbanan, like we saw earlier. Unusual circumstances resist rabbinic restrictions. Esve. Another question. Kli shenitma, a vessel that became Tomei Erev Yom Tov. Be'av hatumah, ein mapilin oso b'Yom Tov. It means if the vessel came into contact with a primary level tumah, it's known as an ava tumah. An example of an ava tumah would be a dead sheretz, or a carcass of an unslaughtered animal. Those are two of many examples of an ava tumah. If the kli became tomei because it had contact with an ava tumah, ein matbilin oso b'Yom Tov. You cannot immerse it on Yom Tov. However, bivlad hatumah, if the vessel became tomei because it had contact with a
Rishon level of Tumah. We have to point out immediately, this is a rabbinic law, because on a Torah level, vessels do not become Tumah other through contact with an Ava Tumah, not with a Rishon. A Vlad is literally the offspring of Tumah, and that's because the what we call a Rishon is something that is the result of contact with an Av HaTumah. It's the result of. So it's called a Vlad HaTumah. If the vessel became Tameh because it had contact with a Vlad HaTumah, what does that mean? It means the vessel became Tameh because of its contact with a Rishon level of Tumah. What status would the vessel have? Again, rabbinically speaking, it would be called a Sheni LaTumah. So a vessel like that, matbilin oisoi biyomtov, you're allowed to immerse, to toivol, to purify a vessel like that on Yom Tov. Ah, v'imisa, if it's so that we impose additional gezeros, nigzar ha'atu ha, we should restrict the immersion of a vessel that became tummy through vadatuma in anticipation of immersing a vessel that became tummy through avatuma. The Gemara answers, Vlad hatumo hechi mishkachas la. Under what circumstances would a vessel that became tumei through contact with Vlad hatumo would have any halachic bearing? Gabi koyhanim, its halachic implications exist only within the realm of koyhanim. Koyhanim are people that are entitled to truma. Truma, as opposed to common food, truma is sensitive to tuma, and if truma comes into contact with a sheni latuma, so the truma will be ruined. If standard food, chulin, comes into contact with a sheni level to it, nothing happens to it. So this vessel that currently has a sheni latuma status, its halachic ramifications are only within the realm of Kohanim and their Truma. Kohanim Zrizimheim. Kohanim are people that are very diligent. And they don't come to, they're not going to come to allow the immersion of a vessel that became Tomei through an Avatuma. And another approach Rashi takes is they're careful in general of having their vessels avoid Tuma in the first place. It happened that it became Tomei. That's unusual. That's a Milsa de lo Shricha. And therefore, as we saw before, Milsa de lo Shricha lo Gozu Barabonan. We continue. Question number 4. Toshma, Yomar Vchia Barashi, Omar Rav. Nida Shein lo Begodim, a woman who is Tomei because of her monthly cycle, and she has no change of clothing, ma'aremes v'tovelis b'vgodeha. It should be clear that the nida, when she's tamea, she needs to immerse herself. The clothing she's wearing are also tome. And here we're talking about a woman that doesn't have a change of tohar clothing. It's now Yom Tov, and she can't take off her clothing and immerse them on Yom Tov. We had a rule that you're not Mabilin Kalim on Yom Tov. What does the halacha allow? As we saw in the Lashon of the Gemara, Ma'aremes Vitovelis Bivgodeo. There's a trick. She goes into the mikvah clothed. And as a result of her entering the mikvah clothed, let's just assume that's a loose-fitting clothing, you don't have a chatzitza problem, the immersion in the mikveh will mitire not only the lady, but the clothing as well. As far as a person is allowed to enter a mikveh on Shabbos. But here we have the clothing also experiencing purification. So we continue in the Gemara. V'im Esau, if it is so that we make gezeros, nigzar dilma osilid bule beinayu, we shouldn't allow the woman to jump in the mikvah clothed, because if we allow that, she might immerse the clothing separately while she's not wearing them. The Gemara responds, "Shiny hosam." That case is different. Mitoch shluhutrula elo al yedei malbush. Since she knows that the only way she's allowed to matara the clothing is while she's wearing them, zechurahi, she will remember that that's the only way and not come to immerse the clothing separately. So there's no grounds for making the gzera, similar to what we said before with regard to people who, the case of the drawing of the water in the Tomei pail, since that's the only way that one is allowed to do it, he will remember and not come to toivel a Tomei pail separately. As you can see, we have a number 2 and followed by 3 and 4, the house markings, which are additional explanations as to why Tevilas Kalim on Yom Tov is prohibited. But we are, after all, in the context of a Daf Yomi Shir, and we have significantly overflowed our daily quota. So this would be a convenient pausing point. Before we conclude, let us simply remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.